Welcome back to the Book of Proverbs. We are in chapter 12 today, back at the Wisdom Roundtable, to Dees Ross. Welcome back.
Hello, hello.
Peyton Jones.
Here.
Now we've got here and present. Class is in session. And it is in session, actually, in Proverbs 12. We've got a lot about the wise and the foolish. Now, Tadis is known among those who are close to him as a knucklehead whisperer.
Yes, 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 I am. Because I was one. That's why. So I speak knuckleheadese. I speak it fluently. You know, I am bilingual. Not Spanish, knucklehead.
And Peyton Jones, I believe you know this language as well.
Oh, I went to the school of knuckleheads, the first school of knuckleheads, yes. I'm still enrolled in some of the courses there.
Master's level.
And this is one of the key rules, as we talked about in the Book of Proverbs. You have to apply it to yourself first. You got to look in the mirror before you paint this at anybody else. So, Peyton, get us started. We are going to start right in the middle of the chapter at verse 16. Peyton, what do we find there?
Well, verse 16 actually is one that I have struggled with most of my life. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. Now, this is Solomon's way of saying, check yourself before you wreck yourself, right? Act, don't react. And admittedly, like I said, this has come late in life for me because I get annoyed a lot. But these days, as I'm a bit older, I try to keep my emotions in check and analyze the statements of others just in case I have it wrong. And that's another thing I do a lot. I get things wrong. So reacting to everything, every imagined slight or offhand comment actually betrays a deep or underlying insecurity. So it actually makes you look very insecure because you are when you react quickly. But the flip side of this, it says, but the prudent overlook an insult. And to be prudent means to be careful or thoughtful. To overlook an insult shows wisdom by giving the other person the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they didn't mean it in a negative way, in case they meant something different than what you imagine. Plus, when you overlook an insult, you actually outclass the other person.
Yeah, prudence is one of those virtues that is highly underrated. Dear Prudence, it is a beautiful thing. It's knowing the right thing to do at the right time. And the prudent knows it's time to just let it go, to just let it go. That's the wise thing to do in the moment. You don't need to let them know how much it got to you. Just let it go.
I was hoping you would sing right then.
Well, dear Prudence, I will move on to Tadis. We're actually going to back up a verse with another power pack punch for the fools. Verse 15, Tadis, what do you got?
The way a fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Now, listen, I'm not as cultured as my two counterparts here, but I will say that I've had plenty of dumb ideas, right? And if you have nobody to counterattack or provide an impediment to those, dumb plans, because it sounds good to you. You ever bounce it off of yourself? Yeah, how did that work? It didn't work too good, did you? You ever have a dumb plan and then you went to seek counsel in yourself for the dumb plan that you and yourself formulated? And you thought that somebody's going to tell you it wasn't a good idea? So growing up, man, my grandmother, love her, Grandmama B, she used to say, if you're the smartest one of your friends, baby, you need some new friends. And that's real, you know? So if you need to seek counsel and people who may not even be invested in what you're doing, but are biblically and morally astute and grounded. And they'll say that. And if they're really your friends, they will want the best for you, not just on this side of creation. I don't think you should do that, man.
Sometimes my idea is so bad, all I needed to do was just say it out loud.
Oh, man.
Just say it out loud. Yeah. Sometimes I'm just looking at my wife and all she's got to do is look back at me and like, yeah, I knew it was dumb the moment I heard it out loud.
Yeah.
But it sounded great till the moment I said it. And if I don't check it by someone, but the wise listen to advice. And that means you got to be willing to be corrected. And with that, I'm going to bring us back to verse 1. And chapter 12, verse 1 in Proverbs is perhaps my favorite. And I have to say, having done many, many years, I think I've done about 20 years of children's ministry, this might be the favorite of all Proverbs among small children because it says the word stupid. and it gives them a license to say the word stupid every time I bring this to kids. But I always tell them, you got to apply it to yourself first. So let's hear it. Proverbs 12, verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. So I'm going to explain to all of you what I always have to explain to the kids. This one has to be applied to yourself first. It is not a license to call anyone stupid. There's only one way that the Bible calls you stupid: if you hate correction. So let's read it carefully and from the beginning. Whoever loves discipline, love it. You have to love to be corrected, love to be told you're wrong. And that does not come naturally. It does not come in the flesh. Not love getting it wrong, but truly desire to know when you get it wrong, because it's the only way to improve. It's the only way you're ever going to get it right, is to want to know that you got it wrong and genuinely appreciate the person kind enough to tell you. Now, this one separates the men from the boys. This is maturity. If you want to play the wisdom game, you got to love discipline, because to love discipline is to love knowledge. To love being corrected is to love getting it right, because that's the end goal. If you hate being corrected, the Bible calls that stupid. It's blunt, but take a good look in the mirror. If you hate correction, this is the best you'll ever be. Your mistakes, the same arguments you keep having, get used to them. They will never leave you unless you learn to love discipline and correction. That is the game changer. All right, Peyton, which one are you going to be? You going to love discipline or hate correction? Let's find out. We'll move you back. What's your next verse?
Verse 23, the prudent keep their knowledge to themselves, but a fool's heart blurts out folly. Now, I still don't have a great handle on this one, if I'm honest. Tadisa's my nephew. I see him at family gatherings all the time. Chris, you're one of my best friends. This is one that just gets me. And here's why. I often want to enliven a conversation by saying stupid things all the time. So
I can give you an amen.
But here's the thing. They say that a know-it-all tells all he knows. So when someone's blurting out every fact they know in a conversation, it's usually a sign that their knowledge is just surface level, like a push-button response on Jeopardy. Whereas if their knowledge of the subject is deep, it's going to take a while. They might hold back knowing, I need some time. I need a bit of a runway to really contribute to this. Now, we all have sound bites that we play in different crowds, and the people closest to us can sometimes be like, oh, I don't want to hear that story again. I'm looking at my wife. But Solomon likens knowledge to our blood. That's why he says a fool's heart blurts out folly. It's just spurting it. You know, our blood is useful when it's inside us, but pretty messy and useless on the outside of us. Like a fool's heart, you're always spurting and spilling your knowledge everywhere. And your knowledge, as smart as it sounds, to everyone else, sounds like foolishness.
You know, as a preacher, I got to say, this one really hits home. Because when somebody puts a microphone in front of you or a pulpit in front of you, you suddenly start to think that, you know, maybe I do have it all together. And then you're the only one talking. You have the pulpit. I can't tell you how many times I said something stupid that came back to haunt me, because you can't take it back. As I got older on the mic and in the pulpit, I got a whole lot better at checking my facts. There are so many things I said as a young preacher that still haunt me, because I know how wrong they are today.
And me. Amen.
And me. I said two today.
All right, Tadisa, you got the next one. Where are you going to take us?
So I'm going to take you to Proverbs 12:3. No one can be established through wickedness, but the righteous cannot be uprooted. So this verse is an explanation about how it's impossible for someone to find stability and tranquility while engaging in bad actions, right? So the only thing that can that can establish is the anticipation of this punishment that's coming your way, right? So situation is, once again, I know you guys hear a lot of things that come from my childhood, and they're like jewels that are starting to germinate, just jewel-studded seeds that are germinating from my grandmother. And she says, when you don't have any business doing something, business is booming. And that's how one thing can lead to another. And you think about that. You don't have no business being in that room with that girl by yourself. Now you are Now you a father. When you don't have no business doing something, business is booming, baby. So really think about that. And you can't be established through wickedness. You cannot achieve stability and ethical astuteness through wicked and nefarious means. It will come crumbling down, period.
The picture I see here, I love the imagery of it. You cannot be established through wickedness. The righteous can't be uprooted. It's picturing something being planted. And you know when a plant is easy to pull up. I actually worked gardening for a year in college, and weeds are easy to pull out because they hardly have any roots. They just grow up. They go all up. You pull it out, and there's not much there, and they're just easy to get rid of. A tree digs its roots deep. A tree that's established, it has more roots. For all that you see above ground, as great as that is, it's got more going on down deep. And it takes work to pull that out. The righteous cannot be uprooted. By doing what's right, you're digging your roots deep in the Lord, and the Lord will not let you be pulled up. You do something wicked, it's a flash in the pan. It grows up, but there's nothing. There's no roots there, and it will be easily pulled out. And I'm going to close this out there. We are out of time. Read Proverbs 12. Take some time to dwell on some gems here, and we will meet you back here in Proverbs 13.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.